So the ratings have been an issue for a long time. There's other systems that are out there that rely on match play. The trouble is, a lot of people don't want their matches to be recorded. I don't want that match to count. I just want to go play with my friends. How can I provide a way to rate people that is fairly objective and transparent about how they're being rated? Let's say you and I play together, and you're a really good player, Paul. I've seen you on the court. And let's say, of course, every single ball comes to me, and I blow it. In the end, you and I have lost. Your rating is also going to get affected, even though you barely touched the ball today. And that's not a particularly objective way to measure.
Paul Olson. I'm your host of The Future of Pickleball on the Selkirk TV show. I want to welcome you today. As always, I get an opportunity to speak with some of the movers and shakers in the sport that are making pickleball what it is today. I've got a guy on the show today that you're going to have a lot of fun with. Mark Renison, welcome to the show.
Oh, Paul, I feel like this is the first time I've been called a mover and a shaker.
Oh, no,
but I appreciate it. Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Tell you, I'm going to give you the audience. I'm going to give you a little bit of an idea of what Mark's background is. I've known Mark for a long, long, long time, a bit at a distance, but we've both been involved with Selkirk in different capacities for a long time. But Mark has really was one of the instrumental people in beginning to develop the coaching protocols that we are familiar with. There have been several people go into it. Mark has been very long-term, and recently his company, PCI, which is Pickleball Coaching International, was purchased by Selkirk because they see some great opportunities going forward with what he does. Mark, tell us a little bit about what the background you had as to how you got into coaching pickleball, because I know you came from an extensive teaching, coaching background in tennis prior to that.
Yeah, so it was probably 11 years ago, so it would have been 2014 or so, I discovered pickleball. And like many people, you know, fell in love with it really quickly. And I had a tennis coaching background of many years, 20 years plus, and was actually getting out of teaching tennis because it wasn't the tennis I loved, and I was transitioning. I was an elementary school teacher waiting for a job here in my new town while I was taking care of my little baby, and discovered pickleball, fell in love with it, asked the guy who introduced it to me. I said, oh, do you guys run clinics and camps, and who's the coach here? And he says, oh, there's no coaches. We just teach each other. And that kind of spawned me thinking, hey, I'm newer to pickleball, but I'm not new to racket sports. I'm certainly not new to coaching, and started this little coaching business here in my tiny town. And that led me to the opportunity. You know, I would make pickleball videos online. And I mean, back in the day, I might as well have been selling bowling lessons. Like, not many people were taking them, but sort of persisted and would start to travel around North America and beyond running pickleball clinics and camps. A few years later, realized that, hey, if pickleball keeps going on the trajectory it's going on, there's going to be a need for more coaches. And I had a background training coaches for Tennis Canada. And so I started a small little company called Pickleball Coaching International. It was sort of a spinoff of Third Shot Sports. And the idea is that we would offer instructor education. That was actually just it. There was no instructor certification at the time. We were just going to offer instructor education. And that's kind of how everything started.
You know, I'll tell you, it's interesting. I've been around the sport like you have for a long time, and I was one of the earliest instructors certified by the IPTPA and then the PPR as well when they came out. And I was interested really in supporting the sport, that as credentials began to become available, that I thought that that was something that I should do because I was teaching people. But the thing that I found when I discovered what you were doing that really impressed me was the amount of video content and video instruction, you were doing much more that I could see than other programs that were out there. How did you get to a point of thinking about the video coaching teaching model?
So initially, you know, I would just make these short little YouTube videos to teach players, right? People who are interested. And I would try to make them quick and to the point, try to make them easy to understand, try to make them kind of fun where I could, but I didn't really have a background in making videos, certainly not in editing them. And when it came to starting to do some coach education work, I mean, videos were kind of an obvious way to reach a larger audience, right? To reach people that weren't here in my small town in Canada, and to reach people outside of North America as well. And so had a little bit more experience making those videos, making them work, making them something people wanted to watch. And when it came to our coach education and eventually our instructor certification program, using videos was a good way to communicate, I thought, and to give more people access. It's also a good opportunity, you know this from courses you've done in person. It's like, let's say the instructor does something or the facilitator does something that's like really great. You want to see it again. What was that thing they said? If you're doing it in person, there's a good chance that you don't get to hear that again, or it might've gone over your head this time and now you can't remember. And when the instruction is online, one of the beautiful things about it is you can go back and rewatch it again. So right. I thought that having this element, having a very strong element that was online and that was video based, was going to be helpful for conveying the messages we were trying to convey, but also helpful for the people on the receiving end for it to really stick with them.
Yeah, and I think that's evident. For those of you that are watching this show on PCIPickleball.com, which is the website, there's a free access module on how, maybe you're not a coach, but you are an influencer and you have the opportunity to help bring new people into the game, which many of us had. Mark has a great video piece on how he would recommend you help people come into the sport. And I thought that piece, I thought it was great from the content part of it. Your strategy and how you did it, I thought was good. But more importantly than any of that, it was the ease of access. It really, you know, often people see things, it's far easier to understand than have somebody telling them about it.
Yeah, so I think, you know, what's maybe helpful for your audience is to understand. So Pickleball Coaching International, we've got two kind of main streams. We've got a certification stream and a non-certification stream. Mm-hmm. And the non-certification stream is, hey, there's lots of information here. There's videos, there's articles, there's audio, there's graphics, there's all sorts of things. And this is a, you know, we hope, a repository of information that people find useful, that they pay a small fee to be able to have access to. But there's no testing, there's no evaluations, you know, it's a non-certification stream. The other stream is for people who say, hey, I don't want to just like have access to information. I want to go through a program, go through a training program, be evaluated, be assessed. And if I do my job well, then I come out with some kind of credential at the end, right? Mm-hmm. A level one certification in this case. So those are the two different kind of streams. But one of the things we wanted to do before, you know, someone commits to doing our instructor certification course, for example, is like, hey, let's give them a taste of what our approach is like. And so what we do is we have this free, we call it the free introductory instructor program. And as you mentioned, there's no cost for it. It's about 75 minutes long. It's actually a video of me on the court with three brand new beginning players, mic'd up so you can hear what I'm saying, you can hear what they're saying. And we've edited it in a way where we're trying to give the audience who's watching this beginner lesson some insight into why is the coach doing what they're doing. So why, for example, did the coach take the paddles out of the hands of the players and now they're doing like a throwing and catching exercise? Why is it that when the instructor noticed, for example, the player using some sort of wonky grip when they're hitting their backhand, well, why didn't the instructor say something at that moment? And what we try to do is we try to give through this course both a chance for people to see how the coach works with these brand new beginning players who've never played before, but also give them kind of like a little bit of a look into the mind of the coach. Right, which you don't always get when you're just watching someone out there coaching. So it's been a very effective way to give people a little bit of a taste of what we do at Pickleball Coaching International. It's been great for people who, you know, like you say, maybe are introducing new people to the sport, but they're not yet ready to commit to a certification program. But they're like, hey, here's one way that we could coach beginners. And it's often, to be honest, it's very different from how we hear from most people when it comes to coaching beginners. That's for example, like, absolutely. Yeah, like I don't think it's important for beginners to know the rules of pickleball before they start hitting the ball. Right. No one goes home to their family and says, oh, guess what? The best part of my lesson today is I learned what it meant to reestablish yourself once you're outside of the non-volley zone. Yeah. Nobody says that. Yeah. But what they do say to their family when they go home after their beginner lesson is, hey, at the very start, within 5 minutes we were hitting balls, we could only hit three or four in a row. But 20 minutes later, we got to 18 in a row.
Yeah,
that's what they get excited about. And so I think, you know, if we're trying to be effective coaches or effective instructors or just people who are bringing new people to pickleball, I think it's important we think about what is it that we're teaching them? What order are we teaching it in? And what is the stuff that like really matters the most? And what is the stuff that, hey, you know what, we can probably save that for later because we've got more important, more exciting, more fun things that we can do right now.
Well, and that really resonated with me. And I ran a pretty large program in Minnesota before I started traveling nationally and internationally in the space. And always the lessons, the early lessons, people wanted to be able to be part of the group. They wanted to be able to walk on the court. I can play in a game. I'm going to learn. And I think you showcase both for somebody who may not even be a pickleball player, how might I learn to do it? But also for those influencers. And I think even seasoned instructors can get a lot from that in the standpoint that it isn't about technique first. It's about engagement and getting people having fun hitting balls. And I think in that case, you did a beautiful job of putting that together. And anybody who wants to see it can just see it for themselves. So I think that was very cool. You know, one of the things that you also do in PCI that I'm very intrigued to hear your thoughts and ideas on are player ratings. So that's been such a huge issue with all of the different people and what they're doing. Every time I think we're getting some narrowing of it, there seems to be something that comes up that everybody's angry about it. How do you go about rating players and how would you suggest people think about rating?
Well, you're right that this is a significant problem to make sure that people know what their rating is. And in some cases, this is because they want to play a tournament and they want to get into the correct bracket. In other cases, I'd say in most cases, it's because they just want to find out who are the people at their club that they would probably have a good game with. So the ratings have been an issue for a long time. And I think of a story, someone close to where I live years ago, she came back and she said, Mark, I just got back from Florida. I was at the Villages. Guess what? The coach there rated me a 3.5. And I said, oh, Linda, 3.5. Okay. Why? She said to me, well, what do you mean why? I said, well, why not a 3.0? Or why not a 4.0? Why was it 3.5? She said, well, I don't know. The coach watched me. The coach watched me play and then said I was a 3.5. Now, you don't have to have a master's degree in education to understand that that's probably not a great way to do assessments of players. Even if the coach was right, it's not a great way to evaluate people just to say, well, I as the expert, I know, and I bestow upon you rating of 3.5. Mm-hmm. Because she doesn't know why she's a 3.5. She doesn't know what she needs to do to become a 4.0, right? This is not ideal. There's other systems that are out there that rely on match play and the results of match play. And I understand the principle here, I think, is that, you know, you play enough matches and against better players, lower players, eventually it'll all work out and their rating will go up by 0.01 or not. The trouble is, a lot of people don't want their matches to be recorded. And I think about my mom when I first brought this up, when this program came up where it's all matched assessments or ratings were based on match play. And my mom said, that's ridiculous. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. I said, Mom, oh, easy. Why? And she says, when I go out on a Sunday morning at 9 o'clock with my friends, I don't want that match to count. I just want to go play with my friends. And, you know, with one of the organizations that does the rating based on match outcomes, you know, for a little while, at least their tagline was make every match count. That is the opposite of what my mother wants. And look, my mother, I think, would stand for like a lot of people out there who play pickleball. I just want to go and play with my friends. I don't want to have to then go record the score and figure out, do I go up or down a quarter of a point? And so the problem we were trying to solve here is, let's say I'm a pickleball coach at a club, or let's say I'm a pickleball coach who's been asked by a club to come in and rate players because it's too political for the internal people to do the ratings.
Sure.
How can I provide a way to rate people that is fairly objective and that's also very clear and transparent about how they're being rated? I mean, the other problem with the based on match play system is, let's say you and I play together and you're a really good player, Paul. I've seen you on the court. You're really good. I'm not so good. And let's say, of course, every single ball comes to me and I blow it. I blow it. I blow it. I blow it. In the end, you and I have lost. Your rating is also going to get affected, even though you barely touched the ball today. And that's not a particularly objective way to measure. And so what we did at PCI is we said, hey, I bet there's a more objective way to do this. And the way we set it up, it's called the rating assessment tool. 5 skills: rallying from the baseline, hitting big ground strokes from the baseline when someone's at the net, where you keep the ball low, being at the net yourself with someone else at the baseline, and can you play that volley back with control? Hitting an overhead smash, right, when someone lobs the ball, can you put that ball back with control? And serving to either the left side or the right side of a particular service box. These are 5 pretty basic skills that are important. And what we've set up with our rating system is to say, hey, the rater, the assessor, it's often a coach, but not always, they're going to give the player that they're assessing 10 chances. 10 chances in each one of those 5 categories. And what we're going to do is we're going to count out of 10, how many times can the person put the ball where they want it to go? And it's very clearly outlined what that means. What counts as good, what doesn't. And what you do is you just count. And the scores that the players get for those different categories correspond to a rubric that we've set up. You know, and if you get it, we say, hey, the volleys, the deep volleys that go back to the person at the net, a 3.0 player, they can do that 5 out of 10 times. And the 3.5 can do it 7 out of 10 times. And the 4.0 can do it 8 out of 10 times. And for all these skills, we just count. It's fairly standardized. It doesn't rely on you having a really great or really poor opponent or really great or poor partner. It's not just based on the coach like imagining what you are and bestowing a rating upon you, right? It's fairly systematic. It's fairly transparent. And, you know, back to my friend Linda, if the coach had used this system, she would know exactly why she got a 3.5 rating. Mm-hmm. And what she would have to do to next time get a 4.0. So that's the rating assessment tool that we created. You know, people asked us for this for years. And so we finally said, all right, there's demand for it. It's not like those systems that are for the real like tournament hungry people. But if you're a coach who's wants to rate the people at your club or any club that you get asked to come rate at, you can use this system. They know what they have to do. They know why they got the rating they got. And it's about the numbers, not whether the coach deems them to be a 4.0 or not.
So many of the place, and with all of the traveling that I've done, and I'm often arriving someplace where I don't know anybody who's there that I'm going to play with. They don't know, have any idea who I am. And as an older player, sometimes I'm not taken as seriously as someone might be taken. But the idea of being able to navigate a space, and I always find myself, enjoying asking people when I'm brand new someplace, oh, what is your ratings? How do you rate players here? And then I find by simply being in that conversation, people are going, oh, not every rookie player is asking that question. So I wonder if maybe this person's got a little bit of experience, and, you know, and then we go from there. Well, that really leads me then. So you've been doing all of this developing now for a long time, and now you're one of the recommended teaching systems for USA Pickleball. And it is you have a couple of other partnerships, and I believe, aren't you working with the GPF on doing programs for them going forward now on an international basis?
Yeah, so Pickleball Coaching International now has been around, I'd say, since 2017 or so, 2018. And we've been pretty consistent, and people have liked the work we've done when it came to instructor education, instructor certification. And we've kind of always been out there. We've tried to be pretty forward thinking. And so a few years ago, senior members of USA Pickleball approached us and said, "Hey, we like what you're doing here. How would you feel if USAP endorsed Pickleball Coaching International as a program?" And it's not an exclusive endorsement. There's other people too, because there's other people out there that do good coach education. And we said, "Oh, that sounds great. Like, why would we say no to that?" And so we're happy that USA Pickleball recognized the work we're doing. That's good for us. And then earlier this year, the Global Pickleball Federation approached us as well and said, "Hey, we've been watching you as well. We've seen what you've been doing, both in the United States and around the world. We see USA Pickleball is now endorsing you. And, you know, we're trying to promote pickleball internationally as well. And we think a lot of what you're doing at PCI lines up with some of our goals." And those goals include having, you know, a high quality systematic coach education program. Those goals include having accessible, affordable coach education programs, because, you know, not everywhere in the world can pay the same amount of money that you may be able to in North America. And so, yeah, we talked a little bit about what this endorsement would look like, and to make sure, you know, like, anytime we have a partner, we want to make sure we're on the same page about kind of core principles. And yeah, Global Pickleball Foundation seemed like a good fit for us. And so we're really happy to be endorsed by GPF.
Well, and I've done an awful lot of work now with the different international organizations, and I'm really excited to see GPF. I believe they're sort of now the global leader in taking us to global unification and ultimately having a international organization that's recognized universally around the world. I think that's going to be very positive. But the fact that you've done such a good job of creating this library and catalog of teaching training programs for people in foreign countries that can't come here for a clinic with Mark Renison, but they can get that certification through the video program, that unification, I think, is something that's going to be very important. I had Byron Fresso, who's one of the leading instructors, or referees, excuse me, on the show just 6 weeks ago. And he was talking about how important they were looking at having unification of referee training and how important that brings to making the whole sport unified. So I think it's very exciting what you're doing. And I pay a lot of attention. I've been to some of the major global events now in pickleball, and all of these countries around the world, they're all looking to how can we grow the sport? How can we mirror what's happened in America and Canada? Because this is the grail. We're where it all began. So I think that kind of stuff is just terrific. When you think of, and I looked at your website in preparation for this, you have coaches all over the world now in your PCI directory. How does that come about to date? How did that all come happen?
Yeah, it's funny. When we first decided to go this route where all the training for instructor certification would be online, and then the way the evaluations work, because we want to make sure the coaches are effective and they can run great lessons, they go on a real court with real people, they set up their camera, and there's certain evaluations that they have to complete on the court, which they then submit as videos, which they then get assessed by our assessment team. You know, and if they meet the standards, and they earn their certification, and if not, it's sent back to them and they've got work to do. When we first started that approach of the online training and the evaluations through video, it was really to make it easier for people, mostly within the United States, to get into an instructor certification program. By doing it online, the training, people can do it when they want, where they want, at their own speed. They don't have to miss work or school. They don't have to travel to some instructor course. They don't have to stay in hotels. They don't have to miss their favorite pickleball tournament that's coming up because they've got an instructor course. We really wanted to provide convenience. And I don't want people to confuse convenience with ease, right? It's not an easy program. I'd say about a third of the people, the first time they go through our certification, don't meet the standard. They fail, frankly. They have to resubmit. So it's not easy, but it is convenient. And that was really the goal when we set it up to be primarily online. What was a nice little benefit of this was not only was it accessible and convenient for people in the United States, but people around the world now all of a sudden had access that they otherwise wouldn't. Mm-hmm. So, we just signed a deal with the Confederation of African Pickleball, right? CAP, as they're known. And that's a organization of 26 countries in Africa, right? That are bringing pickleball to people and growing it. We've got coaches from many different countries in South America, from all over Asia, from Europe, from a ton in Australia. And so for us, yeah, it wasn't really the goal to have this really global reach right off the bat, at least. It was really about how do we make it more convenient? But that's been a really nice byproduct, is that we've allow is not the right word. We've assisted people who want to get into pickleball coaching in parts of the world where there is very little. And like, we're, to be honest, like very proud of that.
And you should be. And, you know, it's interesting. I'm sort of on a personal passion project in 2025 of trying to do everything I can in my communication, in my podcast, to let the world understand all of the benefits of global recognition through a global organization such as GPF. That affects every other country in the world. It'll help the sport expand, and it helps us raise the banner higher and higher in the United States and Canada, because we will be then the equivalent of what tennis is globally, or what badminton is globally, or table tennis, or soccer. We will be a global sport by global recognition. And your piece of the puzzle, I think, is an integral part, because when I've traveled internationally, I often get the question, what would you recommend that we do to help narrow the gap between where we are in our growth curve and where America is? Is there anything that you can suggest? And I love the idea of having a way to say, you want to follow the same protocols that we did in America and Canada to build players, build coaches, create programs that have contributed to the sport. So I think you're really doing, you know, maybe more good than you realize. So thank you for that.
Well, I'll take the compliment, but I'm not sure it's warranted. Look, I think that, you know, the desire to have this unified approach, whether it comes to one single global entity or when it comes to pickleball instructor education, like, of course, everyone would like to be the top dog, right? But I think that it's important to recognize pickleball is still a baby of a sport. Sure, 1965, right? But in reality, it's really been in the last 10, 12, 15, 20 years that we've really seen this exponential growth. And I know there's people out there that say, oh, Mark, back in the 80s, I was, sure, I get it. But, you know, when it comes to mainstream recognition, right? You weren't seeing pickleball represented in, you know, sitcoms on TV 20 years ago, right? So the mainstream recognition, the big money that's coming into it, that's all relatively new. And so I do consider it still as a sport really in its infancy. And I do think as a result, it is like a little bit of the Wild West out there. And so new things are emerging, new pros are emerging, new paddle manufacturers are emerging. I mean, I was at a conference recently with one of the CEOs of Selkirk, Tom Barnes, who leads their research and development. And Tom was adamant that it's important that we keep the barriers very, very, very low for new paddle manufacturers to come into the market. And there are some entities out there that are trying to raise barriers to make it harder for these new. And it's so counterintuitive, right? You think, well, wait a second. Why would someone who runs a pickleball paddle company want more competition to come in. And it's because that competition is good for the growth of the game, because it pushes Selkirk, it pushes the other manufacturers, it keeps them on their toes. And so I hear what you're saying about this desire for unification, and there's definitely some benefits that would come with that. I know, especially as pickleball tries to make an Olympic bid, you know, that's important. I also think it's important that there is competition in this marketplace, including on the coach education side, right? Like, I need to feel that pressure from other organizations that are doing new, innovative, interesting things, because that pushes us to think through what we're doing. How can we do it better? How can we do it more efficiently? How can we make it a better customer service experience? So it's this tightrope that we have to walk, right? We don't want this over fragmentation in the sport where everything is scattered all the time and there's no coherence and, you know, it's chaotic. We don't, I think, want that. But we also do want enough movement within the sport, within the different segments of it, whether it's on the paddle side, whether it's on the tournament side, whether it's on the coach education side. We do want enough movement in there and enough, let's say, instability, that it encourages all of us who really care about the sport and care about our contributions to do that as well as we can. So it's a tightrope, and it's I'm not sure what the answer is, but one thing I do know is that it's amazing being involved in pickleball at this time.
You know, and it's interesting because the things that you're describing, I run into this as sort of a yet to be determined answer on what I'm referring to in global unification. I'm not talking about competition between company sports. I'm talking about our ability as a sport. There is a moment in time when a sport becomes an internationally recognized sport. And to do that and ultimately be eligible for the Olympics, there has to be unification of rules, standards. Everybody around the world needs to be playing the same game. That's what global governance is. That's why I think what you're doing contributes that, because it's online, it's accessible, it's all of the things that you're describing in that convenience. I'm the biggest believer in the world in competition, because I spent my whole life in the sporting goods industry. Nothing moves things better than competition. But in terms of the governance, that's it's my little preach right there. So bear with my podium stand.
Who knew that Paul Olson was really motivated by pickleball governance?
There you go. I'm gonna put that down in a quote, Mark. We're gonna have that. Something that I want to kind of get an idea from you on, you've been around the sport at every level for a long time now. Now that you're affiliated directly with Selkirk, what's the future of PCI? Are there things that you're going to be able to do or have hopes of being able to do that we might see 2, 3, 4 years down the road?
So I remember it was a few years ago that Mike Barnes, co-CEO of Selkirk, came to me and asked if we were interested in taking on some investment. We'd already been partners with them. They had already said, look, we really care about getting involved with coaches, coach education, teachers. Hey, you're going to Australia next month. Can we please send $100,000 worth of equipment so that you can give it out to the coaches that you're working with that are doing your certification course? That is really like Selkirk putting their money where their mouth is. And they've been consistently good partners with me, even pre-PCI, right? Just when I was traveling, coaching, doing third shot sports stuff. They've always had a vision for what pickleball could be. And it's been like a very big vision, a vision that I think a lot of people didn't see. To be honest, there were times where I couldn't see the vision that they had. But they saw something in what we were doing, also about sort of forward thinking, and they thought we kind of aligned. So we were good partners. And back in summer of 2024, where Selkirk acquired PCI, but they said, and part of the deal was that I would come over and run the business, the title as president, which I guess is a downgrade because I was CEO previously, so now I'm president, so it was a demotion. But one of the things that's been really important to them and was important to me is they said, look, sure, PCI is now a Selkirk asset, but we want you to continue to run it the way you think it should be run. That's really important to us. The fact that you got it here where it is because of your vision, because of your leadership and how you're doing it. So we don't want to step on your toes. We don't want to infringe. We want you to keep going with that. But what you can do now, and what we have started to do now, is now that we have some of the juice of a company like Selkirk behind us, right? I spent most of my morning today working with the graphic design team, you know, because we're launching a new podcast that's specifically for pickleball coaches. And so now we have like real graphic designers. Now, shout out to my colleague, Lauren, who came with me from Third Shot Sports and Pickleball Coaching International. Now she's at Selkirk too as our operations manager. Look, Lauren did a fantastic job on our graphic design up to this point, but she'd be the first one to tell you she's not a graphic designer. Right. So now that we have graphic design teams we can work with, now that we have media teams we can work with, now that we have finance teams that can help us, now that we have like the behind the scenes IT people who are unbelievable, it's going to allow us to scale PCI in a way that we've always wanted to do, but didn't really have the technical expertise to do, right? I'm a pickleball coach. God, I'm barely a pickleball coach. I'm a teacher at heart. And so when it came to designing or building websites and figuring out automations and all of that, this is not our skill set. And so what I'm really thankful for now that, you know, we're part of Team Selkirk is that we can leverage the assets they have within the company, the great minds, the great people who are really, really good at their jobs, which allow me to be really good at my job, which is on the coaching and the coach education side of things.
You know, that is very well said. I always try and make a point in these podcasts of doing a thank you to Selkirk. I've been with them a long time on an advisory ambassador role, but their ability to create an environment where I could do this show, and this is, you're now my 75th guest. I've had the leaders from around the world in the sport of pickleball talking about what their visions and their thoughts and ideas were. And it's only been possible because Selkirk did it, because like yourself, I've done a lot of public speaking, but I never did a podcast before this. And having Josh, my producer behind us, and the editorial team, Selkirk is doing things to help grow the sport. And you can see what they're doing on Selkirk TV. You download the app on your phone. It's remarkable what's there. You'll see pro events. You'll see a library of matches that'll go back for years. There's nothing in the sport like it. Download the Selkirk TV app on your phone. Like and subscribe to this. Mark Renison is going to start showing up there as well.
I mean, if you look far enough back on Selkirk TV, you can see the Pickleball Today show with Mark Renison.
Oh,
you I mean, know, we I, right? We I, had a show way back in the day, Pickleball Today. I look at it now, I cringe a little bit. I've also done like a number of series that are up there, like advanced coaching series. Oh. And yeah, if you do the digging, the good recent stuff is up there. But if you do the digging, you'll find some old cuts from videos I've made like in a bedroom way back in the day.
Well, so there's a very good representation of it. Everything that I've tried to do is to be sort of the business to business person talking to people who are maybe hearing this interview from a who knows where in the world going, oh my God, here's a solution for me on coaching and instructing. I've had the four major franchise organization CEOs on talking about their different models. And that's the stuff that I think a lot of people benefit from who don't otherwise have direct access to this inner circle that guys like you and I run around in. And that's really what I think Selkirk has done a fabulous job on with Selkirk TV. That being said, Mark, I want to thank you so much for joining me today. This has been great. I'm looking very forward to seeing you again on my passion project with global governance. And so you keep that quote in mind. Thank you very much for joining me. I sure appreciate it.
Well, hey, it's always a pleasure. I've enjoyed watching your show for a long time now. And I like the way you're thinking about the future of pickleball and what's coming down the pipe. And it's a pretty remarkable time to be involved with a sport that's not just really fun, but is evolving so quickly. And if I'm able to contribute in a small way, then I'm really happy to be here.
Good. And we will get back together and have another report maybe 6 months or a year down the road as to what's happening.
That's a date. Sounds good, Paul. Thanks.
Thanks, Mark.